So, for anyone who likes football but also lives under a rock, the Cowboys lost to the Bucks 19-3. Did I write that down right? Because I looked up nothing about this game. Because I really don't care about the specifics of the game. Like, that play-by-play y'all just got for the Saints, that's not about to happen for the Cowboys. Because, honestly, the game itself, to me, is insignificant at this point. They weren't doing well even before Dak went out. I will say it's significant for a couple of small reasons. One, CD's gameplay. Was he like the dream wide receiver one that a lot of people were hoping for? No. But was everything that happened in that game his fault? Hell no. I wish I had taken the time to pull up this play. And if I have time, I will pull it up so we can post it on social media. But there was a play shortly before Dak got hurt where Dennis Houston and actually, you mind if I take a second to actually find this?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm about to find it. This is just one example, but without me even saying anything, I'm going to have you look at this and tell me what you notice.
Here goes my football knowledge to the track.
With some kind of a read option or keeping the ball himself. They weren't crashing down, but let's see what his reads take him to here.
Fourth and two, CD Lamb moves back. Dak's throw is incomplete. White almost had the interception. Houston.
What did you throw it to CD?
Even you saw it, right? Because CD was where?
Completely open on the line.
They were crashing down, but let's see what his reads take him to here.
Fourth and two, CD Lamb moves back.
Alone.
Over Alone. There.
First
two
down.
People over there in the path of the fucking ball. Two people there and this person coming for him. Whereas you got CD over there, nobody in between him and what would have been the path of the ball. Like, why? And so this was one of the things that I was afraid of when I was paying attention to a lot of the headlines coming out of training camp. And people were like, oh, there's a lot of great chemistry between Dak and Dennis Houston. And I'm like, there needs to be great chemistry between Dak and CD. Now, they move to where, like, their lockers are next to each other in the locker room. But it's just like anybody who's ever been in the locker room, like, that don't mean shit.
No.
You know, like it's like a very performative way of saying, oh, you should have faith in this duo, you know?
And why do people have so much shit to talk about? Like, why do you not give him a fucking chance?
Here's why. Like, this is something else that I want to get into. Let me finish explaining this, and I'm gonna get into why it makes me so fucking mad.
Yeah,
so
it makes me
you have situations that, right? Like this that nobody talks about. Everybody wants to talk about CD and his route running and CD and drop passes as though every single incompletion was due to that. It was not. Some stuff was just due to targets being off. Some of the fact that he did not show up was because situations like this where he wasn't given that opportunity to show up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, like, yes, he did get more targets than everybody, but it's just like, even if you look at a lot of the targets, it's like, was he really targeted or was he just the closest person in the direction of that ball? Because it's like, I don't know who that ball was going to.
Yeah.
You know, balls is like literally thrown over him, and not even just CD. There were a couple of times with some of the other receivers where the balls were thrown behind them. And it was just like, okay, like it's kind of like how, you know, how some people were talking about the interception on Josh Allen. They were like, oh, that shouldn't even count as an interception because it wasn't his fault. Some of those incompletions for those receivers shouldn't even count for them because it's like, yo, who the fuck was going to catch that? You know what I'm saying? that's kind of how I felt. So the thing about why they're talking shit about CD, though, it's because Cowboys and Michael Irvin put him up on this fucking pedestal. And the average fan, even if they might watch content from training camp or they might look into a player's history in college, the average fan, if you tell them this is going to be our wide receiver one, this is the new star, they're just going to believe you and that's what they're going to expect. CD has not lived up to those expectations.
We didn't have time.
Thank you. So, and that's my whole thing. Those expectations should have never been set in the first place.
No, that's fucked up.
Now, was I hoping that CD would come out and surprise us? Yes, absolutely. CD is my favorite player on the team. I want to see great things from him. I expect to see great things from him at some point. However, with him being my favorite player on the team, I pay very close attention to what he does and to what he doesn't do. And I knew he had a lot to work on. You can play back episodes from last year. I talked about the fact that I wanted to see him gain more muscle. I talked about the fact that I wanted to see him get better at playing through impact and playing through contact, both impact on the ground and contact with other players. And for a lot of this game, he was double and triple team. That was an issue, you know?
Yeah.
I talked about the fact that I wanted there to be more chemistry between him and Dak. I talked about the fact that I wanted him to get more reps in this preseason. And part of the reason for that is because somebody on Twitter said something to me about like, oh, well, if he hasn't gotten any better, he hasn't put any work in the offseason. That could be true. Or here's something else that happens that you might not be aware of unless you're an athlete. You can probably relate to this. Almost any skater who's listening can probably relate to this. You realize there's a deficiency in your game. You practice it. You practice by yourself. You go through practices with the teams. You're working on it, right? Game time comes, that amygdala kicks in, and all of a sudden, that skill that you thought you had down pat, all of a sudden, you can't pull it out of the toolbox for some reason. Now, for anyone listening, the reason why is, what your amygdala is, it's the part of your brain that controls fight or flight, right? So it controls things like adrenaline and other responses to emotion. So basically, once you go from practice to an actual game and there's more on the line, there are people there watching you, maybe something happened leading up to that game, that day, that week, that have caused you to have a certain emotional response. And that can literally affect how you perform and how you play. That is actually part of home team advantage. Part of home team advantage is just the fact that you don't have to deal with the stress of travel and all the outside stimuli that makes shit different than what you normally deal with. And so your brain is able to.
And is everything that you know there.
Yes, exactly. So when I was watching CD play, that was actually what I started wondering. I didn't think to myself, oh, he didn't put in work in the offseason. I started thinking to myself, he's got tools in his toolbox that he can't access yet. Because even during the offseason, when the Cowboys had those scrimmages against other teams, we saw interviews from Micah. We also saw interviews from Zeke where they both said what? It was good playing against these other teams. It made us look at the game differently. It made us challenge how we were doing certain things, right? So even in those games that didn't count for anything, they recognized that, yo, playing against these other teams made us have to evaluate of the things that we were doing, right?
Yeah.
And so what does that tell you? If these people aren't spending time doing that. And now not only are they in a different role, because not only is CD in a different role as wide receiver one, which means there's more pressure on him internally because there's more expectations from the team for him to be a leader. There's also more expectations on the field. So you're going to be double teamed more often. You're going to be triple teamed more often. That was already happening when he had Amari Cooper on the field with him. That's why everybody's like, oh, well, last year he got more receiving yards than Amari Cooper. Somebody challenged me on that when I said there was no chemistry between him and Dak. They're like, oh, well, he got more receiving yards. And I'm like, well, yeah, because it's like if everybody's looking at Amari and CD's open, he had more opportunities, you know? So he got more targets and more yards. That makes sense. That does not automatically.
Same reason why Pollard was, quote unquote, better than
exactly.
Zeke.
That does not automatically mean there's actually chemistry between these two people. There's a difference between comfort and chemistry, right? So he's in a different role internally with the team. He's got different pressure on him on the field, right? Yeah. And then you add to that all of these expectations that are going with number 88 that can affect literally what he's able to do. I would not be surprised if there's actual video of him from his own practices just doing some really impressive shit that we might not see until week 3 or week 4, just because now he has to get used to pulling that out in a competitive situation, which is exactly why he should have been playing during preseason. But we only have so much time.
Say nothing about that.
Hold on. I actually went to one of those preseason practices when I had that awesome couple of days in Frisco. And this is literally something that I sent to somebody when I got, after I watched that practice. This is what I said, because they asked me how it went. And I said, that practice did not inspire confidence. Maybe it wasn't supposed to, though. And he said, and the Tyron news won't build it either. Because like the practice that I watched, that was actually when Tyron went down. It was crazy. I said, not at all. I saw that when it happened, and it definitely and definitely did not think it was that serious. He was down longer than usual, but then he just got up and walked off. But I'm going to need some evidence that they're ready to face teams coming for their nets before I get too excited about this season. Maybe it's me, but I saw a lot of skilled players that knew what to do, but maybe not how to do it. And I would have thought that that was just the vibe of practice if it hadn't been for Turpin actually showing some intensity and enthusiasm. Him and Micah were the only exciting ones to watch, really. But if it was just supposed to be an exhibition for the crowd, maybe that would explain that. That was my take walking away from that practice, right? And now I'm thinking maybe that's kind of how every practice was. Because it's like we saw a lot of good videos from social media and marketing from the Cowboys from practice. Well, yeah, but we didn't.
Their job is marketing.
Right. But when it came to the things that we would actually need to know, they didn't have any actual answers when people were like, yo, your O-line seems depleted. Which, like, even if they didn't expect Tyron to be out, when was the last time he played a full season without injury? 2016? I think for the past four seasons, there's been a period of time where he was not available. Yeah. So it's like, you should have already expected, like, yo, at some point, we're going to need somebody we can count on at left tackle, right?
Yeah.
Dak's backups. When was the last time Dak had a full season where he didn't get injured? Maybe you didn't expect him to go down week one, but when was the last time that Dak played a full season healthy, right? So we should know we need somebody at QB who's going to be ready to take over and help us get a winning season. CeeDee Lamb. When Amari was there, CeeDee Lamb did interviews where he talked about how much he was learning from Amari Cooper. So if he's still learning from this person, what the fuck makes you think he's in a position to take over that role, right? So all these questions, like, they're putting out all these videos. Look at our wide receivers catch balls. Look at this. Look at that. But when people had actual questions about the O-line and about Cedric Wilson leaving and Lyle Collins leaving and Amari Cooper being gone, they did not have any actual answers. Because the answer was, our offense is thin.
The answer
and depleted.
Is, Jerry, you fucked up.
100%. And so that brings me back to CD. So it's like he's under more pressure on the field. He's under more pressure internally. And so he's expected to be a leader among these receivers. And a lot of the receivers around him are new.
This is the thing. Like, bro, you can't put that pressure on a person that this is his third year. And all of a sudden now he's, you know, wide receiver one with, like,
all these expectations.
Yeah. And honestly, it's been one game, dog.
Thank you. One game, and they did not play preseason.
Yeah, how about we revisit this in, like, Christmas?
And so, because of all this, there's one person in particular that I have to give a special message to. That one person is Michael Irvin, and that message is, bruh, fuck you. Fuck you with everything I have in me right now. So before I get into that, I'm going to show y'all the video first so you can see why I'm saying this. And I want y'all to watch this video and keep in mind that he's saying these things after he's done all this stuff to make CD number 88. After he used the powers vested in him by Jerry Jones, Cowboys Nation, and Chipotle Mexican Grill Incorporated to coronate CD as a new wide receiver one and the new member of the 88 Club, which CD did not ask to wear this number, by the way.
Correct.
I will rock it every day if I have the ability to. However, this wasn't, he didn't ask for this.
No.
Jerry Jones asked him to take it. And I can't really be mad at him because we have to remember these people are young. Not that he's not a grown-ass man capable of making his own decisions, but even me, being older than CD at this point in my life, if you came to me and offered me several million dollars and said, I need you to wear this number and get on the field and try to catch these balls, I'd be like, all right, I will give it my best. So I'm just saying, like, it's really, some of the expectations that they're putting on him are, like, really, really unfair. But let me get to this video so you can see why this is a very special fuck you to Michael Irvin.
They dropped that commercial we did with Chipotle on the game yesterday. And it's one of the things that when I'm watching the game, I said, I should have talked to, this is what I should have talked to CD about. Mm. You know, you see those drops, and it's something you think about, Ryan, those drops that CD made. Now when you go from number two, and it's just football talk, to number one, you're going, he's so used to playing in space, wide open in Oklahoma, and then he'd be wide open in Dallas. That space is gone forever.
Yeah.
You're the number one guy now.
You get number one attention.
So everything, when they come in the board, the first thing they do is say, 88 is who we watching. Every time they threw that ball to him, it was four guys around him. And I'm going to tell you something I had to learn when you were number one. He's trying to catch those balls in his hands. This is natural, guys. It's not a fear thing. It's not a scared thing. It's a reality thing. I had to learn it, break it down, and study it. You got, when you got people around you, your body naturally protects itself. Mm-hmm. It tightens up. The one thing you cannot do is catch a ball when your hands are tight. That ball will hit your hand and fall, mm-hmm. or you won't be able to close it, and it'll go right through your hands like it did with mm-hmm. CeeDee Lamb. He has to learn now to catch that ball in his pocket with all of those people around him now. Those situations are where he's going to get better. We still got to find a quarterback to throw him the ball, but he has to get better in those situations.
Michael Irvin.
Well,
I don't feel like I'm going to have to agree with Stephen A on this one.
I agree with Stephen A on a lot of stuff.
No, I know you do.
Y'all are on here to give the people knowledge.
Okay, then.
Damn it, I didn't play. I know my place. Y'all played. So I'm not defusing. I am that journalist that rolls into that locker room to ask you the question. Are you not disturbed? Do I have justification for asking him? Are you not disturbed about the fact that the explanation that you just provided to a national television audience, you directed at CeeDee Lamb, and he's supposed to know that.
Look at me when I'm talking to you. Don't be evasive. I'm right here.
Go ahead.
Isn't he supposed to know what you just said? The fact that you felt the need to express it and to explain it in the detail that you provided. He wasn't talking to me and you. He was talking to CeeDee. He wasn't talking to the
man. You're absolutely right.
Because he don't know.
Absolutely right.
So you got a number one.
And I appreciate it.
So you got a number one.
You're right.
That still don't know what about what
number one. No,
you got a number two that's gone. I mean, who was number one? I'm
already going.
Gallup's gone. Cedric Wilson's gone. And hear you what you say.
First of all, what I'm saying, and why you said, he doesn't know, because ain't no a whole lot of people that are around coaching, they ain't never did it at that level. They ain't never did it at that level.
But you've been around.
And I've done it at that level. I've had conversations with coaches. I say, coach, listen, I'm going to take all your coaching, coach, but I know you ain't never did this at this level. So there's some things I'm going to have you to back up on and let me do it at this level. And I'm going to tell you something right now. Nobody coaching him has done it at this level.
A lot of shit Michael Irvin says doesn't make sense.
I'm speaking to him on TV. You're absolutely right.
Let me tell you something else I know. Okay, that's right. I appreciate it. I love my arms long enough. I'll be right there with y'all. Here's the deal. I picked up on this too. Dak Prescott scrambling out of pocket. Remember, 15 of 29 targets he missed. He had a QBR of 47.
Yeah.
Okay, it wasn't impressive, all right? He's scrambling out of the pocket before he gets injured. He goes to his right. He can't make the pass. Did you see the body language of the coaches? All of them were deflated. This is not a good situation in Dallas.
No.
They're not on the same page with the coach. Now, we all know. I'm telling you, listen, we talk about Sean Payton all we want to. Jerry ain't going to make a move during the season. I don't think that will do. He should have. And I think we're going to find ourselves talking about that in the weeks to come.
The other big piece of it, though, that we
have to know, right.
This is who Dak Prescott is without Tyron Smith throughout his career. Right? This is who he has been. The numbers that he has when Tyron Smith is on the field.
Listen to the next thing Michael Irvin says.
He's not. They're way different. He's protected. And you get comfortable, though. Right? When you have a guy that can do what he does, now coaches can scheme different play actions. Now you know you'll be protected when you can get half rows. You can't do those things when you have a rookie out there that you don't know a lot about. And so when we go forward, like when we're pressing this thing forward, playmaker, and you're in that Dallas locker room, you get a chance to be on the sideline again. How are you getting these dudes to even believe they can win? Jerry has to try to make a move at quarterback that tells the locker room, I at least believe in the other dudes in here, even without Dak Prescott, because Cooper Rush is not going to do it. They are in the New York Giants beat them.
We run to this like it's someone out here. Jerry has to go make a move. Make a move and do what? Make a move and go get who? You see what I mean? There's no one out there. Cooper Rush, I don't know. Tyler Huntley. Nobody's giving up Tyler Huntley. And wait a minute. Tyler Smith, that little tackle for his first
play game.
He played pretty well.
Played well.
So you played pretty well.
Can I say this real quick? I agree with you. We can't talk about what they're going to do because there's nothing you can do now. But what we can talk about is what they should have done. So they would not have been in this particular
Okay, Monday morning quarterback.
That's what
it is Monday morning.
A few years ago, before we got Amari Cooper, that looked like this when they had those receivers that they did not that, that were not top receivers, just like they have right now. That looked like it.
And fuck you, Mike Alert. So my whole thing is this, like Ryan Clark brought up, they do the Chipotle commercial. Even before they the Chipotle commercial, it was this big deal being made about 88 on August 8th. It was 88 Day. And they really put CD up on this pedestal. And then he has one bad game and they knock him down.
What?
This asshole. Yes, Michael Irvin, you asshole. Go on national television talking about this is what I should have talked to CD about. Yes. Yes, the fuck it is. Before the game. Yeah, before 88 Day. Hell, probably sometime during the last
two seasons ago.
Thank you. When you knew that he was going to be wearing 88, that's when you should have started talking to him about these things.
Yeah.
You cannot do all these things to boost your own legacy and then turn around and be like, oh, well, I should. Yes, you should have said those things to him and you should have said them to him privately. Yes. You don't put somebody up on a fucking pedestal and then when they don't live up to your expectations that you and Jerry Jones and Chipotle created, go on national television to throw them under the bus and make them sound like a fucking idiot.
Yep.
Because what Stephen A. said, shouldn't he already know that? That is something that a lot of people will believe. But once again, for the athletes watching, I'm sure you can relate to this. You can probably relate to this too. What happens sometimes, especially when a person is really good, is there are fundamentals that will go out the window.
Yeah.
I know skaters who have been skating for a long time.
They know how to fucking skate.
They skate at the highest level of their sport. If you see them on a roster, you're going to be like, damn, I do not want to have to block against that person. They don't know how to plow stop. They don't know how to hockey stop.
They don't know how to shuffle.
They can't stay low and stay square when they're blocking, but what they have figured out is how to go out on that track and be impactful. They may have to turn around backwards to do it, but they will stop the shit out of your jammer. They may turn sideways in their wall every fucking time, but they will hold that wall together.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very possible that that's the case with CD. It's very possible that he has found a way to find success, especially in college,
mm-hmm.
without some of the stuff that Michael Irvin is talking about.
Yeah.
But it's like, if you actually care about this man, then help him play the highest level of his game. And like Michael Irvin talking about, well, you know, coaches haven't done it at that level. That's possible. I'm a coach. I have to coach skaters who are better than me. It happens. But that doesn't mean that you can't tell him shit. Last year, there were articles coming out about Micah Parsons and the veteran football players that he was working with to learn from, to learn their strategies, to learn their techniques, to learn the finer points of his positions, plural, so that he could be the best that he can be. If you notice that CD is not making those same moves and you're expecting him to be just as great, then yes, it was your job as a member of the 88 Club, as somebody who's around the Cowboys facility all the fucking time, as the loudest, most boisterous motherfucker who has the most to benefit from this. Because I when I made that tweet about him saying that shit, because the episode wasn't even over. As soon as I saw him say that shit on First Take, I paused it, I captured the video, and I put it on Twitter. And I was like, no, he is not on national television throwing CD under the bus like this. And I DM'd it to a friend of mine who, I don't know if I should call him a friend of mine. I DM'd it to a person who has interacted with Michael Irvin personally. I'll put it that way. He has a personal connection with Michael Irvin. And I was like, where was this energy before that Chipotle commercial came out?
Mm-hmm.
And that person retweeted our tweet and said something along the lines of the 88 brand isn't about, you know, I don't remember the actual words, but it was something along the lines of, it's not about actually being good. It's about Michael Irvin's legacy, because you can't talk about 88 without talking about Michael Irvin. And Michael Irvin has actually said that in a couple of interviews himself. You know, he's talked about the Cowboys not retiring jerseys.
Took a lot of confidence.
Yeah. He's thought about how Cowboys don't retire jerseys and how it's like a good thing to not retire the jersey, because every time somebody new wears that number, you kind of get to talk about the legacy that goes along with that number. And for the number 88, a lot of that is Michael Irvin's legacy, right? So you're the one always out here repping the Cowboys, repping 88. But then you, if if y'all put as much effort into helping CD be great as y'all put him into putting him on this pedestal and using him for marketing, he'd probably actually be great.
Or he might have a pretty face, okay?
He is more than a pretty face, although he does have a very pretty face.
Such a good smile.
That smile
is great. Yes. I just wanted to say that I've played sports all my life. I've had multiple coaches, some that had played the game that I was playing, some that have never played the sport that they were coaching. And it doesn't matter. They still have the knowledge of the sport. They know what they're doing. They watch film more than probably anybody that I know. Like, they know their shit. Just because they haven't played, playing the sport gives you a different perspective. It does. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean that you cannot be a coach.
Things like how to catch the fucking ball.
Thank you. Like, dog. If that's Michael, physics, though. Like,
if what Michael Irvin says is true, and there's literally no coaches for the Dallas Cowboys that explain how CD might want to catch the ball differently, or no coaches in his personal camp explaining this,
then you go and teach him.
Yes.
Once you go and teach him. Free time,
or
dog.
Find somebody who can go and teach
him. Exactly.
And also, if that's true, the Cowboys are in worse shape than we thought. Like, let's start there. You know what I'm saying? I just thought it was extremely fucked up of Michael Irvin to do this.
Out of all the work
that he's put into himself, putting CD on that pedestal to then come around and knock him down like that. That was extremely fucked up. Same thing with Stephen Jones going in the media talking about, yeah, we need CD to step up. CD didn't tell you to get rid of Amari Cooper. CD did not tell you to create all these marketing pictures and videos and all of this other bullshit to put him on a pedestal.
No, that's Jerry.
As far as I can tell, CD is putting in work. CD is not the one who has come out and said, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. He said he feels ready, which I believe he felt ready. But also, he's never been a wide receiver one in the NFL before.
It's also one game, y'all.
Also one game.
And we just show you the video where he was wide open and still didn't get the fucking ball. Like,
I still believe there's not enough chemistry between. And here's the reason why I kind of felt guilty when Dak got hurt. Because, you know, I believe in manifestation. Yeah. And I was literally watching this game and I was thinking to myself, I was like, damn, I wonder how CD would do with a different quarterback.
I mean.
And then all of a sudden. But here's why I was thinking that, though. Here's a big part of the reason why I was thinking that. When I look at the defensive players for the Dallas Cowboys, I see so much confidence. I see so much camaraderie. I see so much chemistry and people who love what they're doing and have confidence to do it well. When you look at the body language on the offensive side of the ball, and I mean everybody from Dak to Zeke to CD to Kellen Moore to Mike McCarthy, they damn near look defeated before they even get started. And I just remember thinking to myself, like one, looking at how things were going with the passing game, I was like, one, if CD had one of those quarterbacks that makes people better, like how they talk about Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes, if he had one of those quarterbacks who was just really good at the passing game itself, not just that they had the ability to launch a ball, but who can read the field and figure out, this is what we're going to do to make the passing game work.
Yeah,
I was like, how would he do? And not only that, I was like, the body language that we see from these guys, this is coming from somewhere. I was like, why isn't there somebody on the offensive side of the ball who can fix just their mental state? They look like they don't believe in themselves. And all it takes is like one little thing to happen and their heads are down and their arms are in the air. And like, it's just, even as a fan, it's hard for me to stay excited during the game because I'm watching how they're responding to their own mistakes. Yeah. And I'm just like, whatever is happening from a leadership perspective is not resonating with CD in a way that seems to make him stronger as a person.
Now that you say that, you know that people don't learn the same way and they have different like ways of learning and a different timing of learning.
Yes.
Well, this may be one of those situations. Just because it worked for you doesn't mean it's going to work for the person that you're teaching.
Right.
And just because the way that was taught to you made sense to you doesn't mean that it's going to make sense to the people that you're explaining it to.
Right. And
from a coach's perspective,
Ryan Clark and Dan Orlovsky went on NFL Live and did this amazing breakdown. But I retweeted it and I didn't put this in the caption because I didn't feel like the attention at the time. Not that, oh, we have so many followers, whatever. But I retweeted it because it shows how an elite receiver can still get open if the scheme is right. The way they broke down that play and how even though, you know, in this particular situation, a good receiver that, you know, if you would listen to people anecdotally, you would think they're just double covered, triple covered all the time. But how this play was executed by not only that one receiver, but by other parts on the team. Other people on the offense had roles to play in order for that play to be executed correctly so that this person could get open and actually make this play happen.
Yeah.
People keep saying like, well, you know, CD's double cover, like he's wide receiver one. Like, how are they going to get him open? That is an excellent example of how he gets open. And this is why I get so frustrated with conversations of Kellen Moore, because I'm like, other teams, other OCs, other coaches are figuring this out. You know, it's like when you look at the top wide receivers in the league, it's not a new fucking person every week. Mm. Like people like Devontae Adams, when he's on the field, people have a pretty good idea he's going to get the ball at some point. Yet he's still getting catches. He's still getting targets. He's still getting yards. Right. So it's not like it's impossible for CD to do well now that he's wide receiver one and attention is on him. So part of this is on the coaches, too.
Oh, I agree. If the defense didn't play the way that they did,
again, wouldn't have been so bad.
Ooh, that would have been such a, it was a blowout. But it would have been like double the blowout had the defense not play. Like the Cowboys, honestly, if they keep playing the way that they are and the coaches keep coaching the way that they are on offense, Dan, I love you, man. Dan Quinn, you're the fucking absolute best.
Same.
This is all on the offense. You're doing great. And I actually mean it. You're doing great. But if it wasn't for the defense, the Cowboys, like, they're going to be worse than the Lions last year.
Oof.
Am I wrong?
You're not.
legit. Like, because the thing with the Lions, like, they don't have a good defense. They don't have a good offense. But thank fucking God is that we have a nice, amazing defense. Because otherwise, the Bucs would have fucking destroyed that game. Like, I probably wouldn't have watched it. For what? Like, a 40-3? For what? What is, like, oh, that makes me
You
so
know
upset.
Something else that I didn't think about at first, though? I was talking to a friend of mine about this whole situation, because as it was unfolding, a friend of mine called me, and I was just like, I can't believe how they're doing him on social media right now, you know? And I told him about what happened during the game and what people were saying. And he was like, damn, they gonna Ben Simmons that man. And I hadn't even really thought about it up until that person said it. And I'm not saying this is the case. I'm just saying it's something that people might want to think about. Not the average fan. I don't even expect this from the average fan. Like,
no.
Fuck y'all. Fan bases on the whole are made up of like people who are largely assholes, especially the loudest among us.
And bullies, yes.
But people who are in the Cowboys front office, people like Michael Irvin, who have played the sport before and understand the kind of pressure that comes along with it, you don't know what kind of impact you might have on somebody's mental state by putting them on this pedestal this way and then turning around in Monday morning and not personally, not sending CD a text or making a phone call like, yo, there's some stuff I want to talk to you about, but going on national television and being like, the Cowboys have no good receivers.
Yeah. There's no comeback from
and
that.
And also, this dude doesn't know how to catch a ball. Like, and because like, what's one thing that people say about CD all the time? He doesn't post on social media.
Yeah.
If you look at his social media, almost everything that's posted is something that he was paid to post.
Mm-hmm.
It could be that he doesn't like social media. It could be that it
you
has
don't want
an
the
impact
attention?
On his mental health and his emotional state.
Yeah.
We don't know. And these are things that is just like, I feel like it's irresponsible to not think about.
I agree.
What I'm saying?
I agree.
So,
I didn't think about it that way, but yeah.
I'm hoping he's all right, but like, I'm so mad at the Joneses and at Michael Irvin and at half the Cowboys Nation for just... And then somebody even had the nerve, because I was like, well, CD's playing how he played last year. And they were like, no, drop passes and this and that. And I was like, you trying to tell me CeeDee Lamb wasn't dropping passes last year? Are you fucking serious? And they were like, well, I'm a CeeDee Lamb fan. And I'm like,
are you?
I'm like, I'm a CeeDee Lamb fan too. You clearly don't know who you're talking to.
Right.
Like, if you pay even a little bit of attention to us at all, you know one thing is true. And that is that I fucking love CeeDee Lamb.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to pretend like he's not who he is. Like, yes, he had some issues with drop passes last year. You know what I'm saying? He had some issues with playing whenever he had multiple.
Why didn't you have the same fucking heat when fucking Dak doesn't run the ball at all during the entirety of the season? That same energy. Why? Like, why is Justin fucking CD? Like, oh, Cooper is so great. Like, he didn't drop any passes either. Or, like, Wilson this. Or, like, Gallup that. And, like they were, like, the fucking...
Nobody drops passes except for CeeDee Lamb. He is the only wide receiver in the NFL.
In the NFL that drops passes.
But they do the same thing to Trayvon Diggs. Trayvon Diggs gets burned on a deep route. And it's like, oh, my God, the world is over. I can't believe we ever said this man was actually a good football player. It happens.
Do you understand that they're all... Like, they're still human beings. Do you understand that they're not robots, they're not perfect, and they're still gonna fuck up?
It happens. And it doesn't mean that they're not great. Even for everything that we've said today on our team, CeeDee Lamb is still the closest thing to a wide receiver one that we have.
100%.
So, like, when people say he has to step up, it's not that that isn't true. It is true. As far as our receiving group goes, he is our only hope as a leader, right?
100%.
I'm not mad at people for what they said. I'm mad that they waited until they put him all the way up on this pedestal and then to say it.
Yeah.
It's like, no, y'all should have seen this shit coming because y'all planned it from a marketing perspective. Y'all planned it and y'all should have prepared him for it in advance or just scrapped it. Like, yo, he's not there yet. All these plans we had for, 88 day and all this other shit is going to have to wait a season because he still has more work to do, which is fine,
But at least you're honest with him and with yourself.
Yes, at least you're setting him up for success and a successful career and not putting him on a pedestal just to knock him down.
Exactly.
Speaking of people being put on a pedestal, Micah Parsons.
My man.
Love this kid so much. But what the fuck happened with Undisputed? I'm not going to lie. I was slick happy when he didn't show up because I'm one of the people who was like, once again, I tweeted it. I was like, there's something volatile brewing underneath all of this. It didn't feel right. When I said it didn't sit right in my spirit, I meant that. Like, just...
You called it out. You called it out. Maybe he did it on purpose. What if he did it on purpose? Because he didn't like the way that they talk about his QB.
Maybe. Here's the thing that has
that's a shoot that I can see Micah doing.
I could. Like, the pieces... It's like how some people say the math wasn't math then. Mm-hmm. It's like when you think about the relationship between Jerry Jones and Stephen A. Smith and the fact that Stephen A. Smith and Skip Bayless historically have beef. And then what Skip Bayless said about Dak Prescott and that's Micah's quarterback, even though he's on defense, Micah is on the record as saying Dak is my quarterback. And so you think about all these moving pieces and you think about how Micah's fan base is and what they would do to Skip Bayless if one wrong thing happened. And you think about how reckless Micah's been talking because some of the shit he said towards Fournette after that hit last year, I ain't seen Micah Parsons on Twitter calling nobody no pussy.
Yes!
So you fast forward to this year's Micah Parsons, who was just letting it fly when he has something to say. I'm just like, there's just like a lot of potential here for shit to go incredibly fucking wrong.
Yes.
That's what I was looking at. The only thing that has me honestly worried, is the fact that they didn't hear from Micah's camp. Now, I don't know who Micah's camp is. I don't know if we're talking about people with experience who understand the rhythm of things or if we're talking about people who are in their roles because they have a personal connection to Micah.
Yeah.
And maybe they're not used to interacting with outlets that are on a certain level. But that is what had me concerned a little bit. And I'm going to explain something to people because somebody was talking about, how, Micah's, in so many words, they said that he was getting on the bad side of fans. And I made a comment about how I didn't think the last thing that he posted, because there was a post that basically came out on his Twitter as Undisputed was wrapping up. So when I saw that he didn't make it, I was working yesterday morning. And so I was watching a DVR'd replay. And so by the time I saw them announce that he wasn't going to be on there and that he ghosted them, that clip was already making its rounds on Twitter.
Right.
And I was in the process of replying to somebody about it when this video of Micah talking about his Madden ratings came out. Now, at first I was like, what the fuck? That's tacky as hell. But the reason why I kind of switched my stance was because of this. So, for all of you who don't use Twitter, if you go to somebody's Twitter account, what you really want to look at to get a real idea of what they post and how often they post is you don't want to go to their tweets. You want to go to the tab that says tweets and replies. One thing about Micah's tweets and replies is if we go back to a couple of days ago, he posts multiple times a day. He retweets things. He replies to things. He's going back and forth with people, posting videos all day. Up until, as of the time of this recording, up until about 2 days ago. And then his activity really slowed down. And it's only been tweets and no replies and no retweets. That's a pattern change, and usually pattern changes in people's social media reflect some sort of life change. So like take me for example, the way that I get revenue for myself has changed over the past few weeks. And one of the things that we've seen going along with that is there's been a change in my Twitter habits because I'm sitting down more, I'm at a desk more, I have more access to my phone more regularly than I'm able to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Also my Instagram and Facebook habits have changed because my Twitter habits have changed. Even how often I text people or use WhatsApp has changed, right? And so when I noticed that Micah's Twitter habits had changed, that's when I started to be concerned. So between that and the fact that they hadn't heard from his camp, that's what makes me a little bit worried. Because somebody talked about how, you know, if he's under contract, it could be really bad for Micah, which is true. And while Micah is young and he might do some things that are immature, he just doesn't seem like the type of person to be so disrespectful and irresponsible, right?
That's not up his alley.
And so when Shannon and Skip started saying like, oh, well, maybe he's really broken up over the loss, I was like, first of all, anybody who watched anything he did after that loss knows he was not broken up over that loss. Even the interview that he did that they posted on the Dallas Cowboys YouTube, was he disappointed? Yes. Did he want the W? Yes. But he wasn't so broken up that he wasn't making statements.
He wasn't devastated.
Tweets. Yeah. And he was quite proud of his two sacks against Tom Brady.
Oh, man.
I'm proud of him too.
Please.
And same thing with Fournette. Was he pissed about it? Yes. Oh, and that was another thing. They said something like, oh, you know, Micah had a problem with the hit and he feels like it should have been legal. Micah Parsons never said that hit should be illegal. What he said was that it was a different story when him and Fournette were facing each other one-on-one, which is true, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't think it was that he felt like the hit should be illegal. What it seemed like to me was that this clip was going viral. And Micah was like, hey, don't act like this is how it was going down the whole game. If you're going to share this clip, share the clip of the times that I own him too.
Right.
You know,
mm-hmm.
Don't just show one side, which as somebody, Micah is a lot of things and pride, like prideful is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody with as much pride as he has, I can understand him doing that. Right.
Yeah.
But for him to just go dark. And I mean, it could be anything. Micah himself might be okay. He has a kid. Something might have happened with his kid, good or bad, that has just got his attention over the last couple of days. We don't know. And so it's just, to me, it's incredibly tacky and irresponsible for people.
And disrespectful.
Yes. For people like Shannon Sharpe and Skip Bayless to go on and be like, oh, Micah ghosted us. And we think he's so torn up over this loss. And he's so hurt about the hit with Fournette. And he doesn't want to talk to us. Y'all don't know what the fuck is going on. Okay. So, like, chill the fuck out. Yes, you got ghosted. Deal with it. But at least give it some time before you start putting rumors and shit out there about why he didn't show up on the show.
I don't even know what to say. Like, if you've seen Micah already for one season, you know how he is. You know, this is like not normal, but that doesn't mean that he feels any type of way about this specific particular thing, right? Like, and if he's not answering to you, there might be a reason for that too. Like, take that personally instead of being like, oh, it's something else. It's not me. Like, nah, bitch, maybe it is you. You know, that's what you were saying. Like, it can be so many things. So many things, and it's kind of really rude and disrespectful. And if you actually watch the interview after the game, you can tell. Like, he's not devastated. Oh, my God, he's so heartbroken that we didn't take the W. No. I just can't. And you just heard he fucking ghosted you. You just fucking heard that he ghosted you.
Right. Literally just happened.
Can't.
I just feel like all they had to do was be like, hey, Micah Parsons is not going to be on the show today. And that's all
Period.
The information that we have on it right now. And move on to something else. Even if you did want to talk about the hit from Fournette, like, fine.
That's fine. You can talk about the game.
You did not have to put words in Micah's mouth.
Exactly. You can talk about the game. You can talk about his hit, his sacks, the whole thing. You can talk about him.
You can even make fun of the Cowboys for losing if you're if you're that upset about him not being there for your interview.
But do not say shit that you don't know for a fact.
Like, right. And even with all the replies and the tweets to Micah as of right now, he still has not responded. Like, we don't know what's going on with Micah Parsons. Let me Google it and see if anybody's had anything to say, because, like, he's not saying anything on Twitter. And now it's mostly people making videos to capitalize on the fact that he did not show up on Undisputed. So yeah, no news.
You're just hanging out here.
But I mean, think about it. Nothing from Micah. Nothing from Micah's camp. There's not even anything from the Cowboys about why Micah didn't make that appearance.
I have a feeling that we will know why.
Oh, yeah. We're going to find out something eventually.
But, you know, I just, like, I don't know why you have to go to the hate so fast. Like, instead of being like, we just worry about him and we just hope he's okay. And, you know, you can reach out to us when you feel better or whatever is happening and you have time, you can reach out back to us. Instead of being like, oh, man, he's just a kid, feels badly lost. Really? Have you seen this kid talking out there? Do you truly believe that's what's happening?
It's
truly.
Not even in him to be so torn up that he just does something.
And he won't show it, even if he is. You will never fucking know.
Yeah.
Even if he is that torn up, you will never fucking know.
I honestly think that tweet that went out from his account, I think it was like a timed tweet. Like, I think it was from some app. There are several of them that do it now that pushes out things automatically.
Yeah.
That's my inkling. I think we haven't actually seen Micah Parsons on Twitter for like a couple of days himself.
Well,
which is concerning, and I hope he's okay.
I do too.
I hope everything's all right, and there's just, you know, some benign reason that like he's not active for a couple of days and everything turns out to be okay.
Yeah.
But I don't know, between that happening with Micah and that happening with CD, I'm just like really pissed that these people are not being treated as human beings and not being viewed as human beings. I'm like, you can be a fan and still care about people. You can report on this shit and still care about people as people. You can create a lot of content and still acknowledge that these are human beings with lives and a process for how they deal with things and learn things and so on and so forth.
But this is a thing that, and I've said this multiple times, one person does not make a team. It's called a team for a reason. There's multiple people. Multiple people. So don't come at just one like they're like carrying their team on their back, because that's not how it is. Like, the whole defense carry the team on their backs, but it's a group of people. It's not just like Micah didn't carry the team. Fucking Lawrence with the short hair. Woo! We were it was just so funny because he like, I don't know what he did, but I'm like, oh man, like he must feel a lot lighter now. Got all his dreads. But like, it's not one person. Like, you cannot put the whole game, the whole loss on fucking CD. You can't fucking do that. You can't put it on Daggett and her. You can't put it on Signogate. Like, you can't fucking do that. It's the whole team. You want to put it on the team? Yes. Perfect. Amazing. I put it on the team. I get mad at certain players
and
for some shit.
Team, including coaches and front office personnel.
Exactly. Exactly. Like,
Kellen
you can't.
Moore, your days are numbered.
Ooh, Mike, I hope yours are too.
I'm throwing a party when they get Kellen Moore the fuck up out of there.
I mean, Flynn already was like, Mike, if you don't do nothing for the rest of the season. Because this is what we're talking about too. Like, you, all this shit that you said you was going to work on the fucking off season, where is it at? I didn't see no one change.
No.
No one change. This is almost the
same.
Even
the Bucks themselves. Did you see that statement from one of the Bucks linemen where he said they watched film from last year to get ready for the game this year?
And they fucked us over.
And that's how they were so effective. So, yeah. Literally no changes.
No changes. Like, it was almost saying that game on playoffs last year. It was almost fucking just as bad. It was such a slow death.
Oh, yeah. Much better.
There we
Much
go.
Better. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, this is great. We should have done this from the beginning. For real, though.
Oh, us and our ring light issues. So for those who don't know, I have ADHD, so I've been meaning to order a new ring light for like 3 months.
Oh.
So yeah, speaking of not making any changes, that's them. So it's really interesting that this happened. And all right, so when it first happened, people were like, oh, like, and this was like directly post-game. People were like, well, Dak's going to be out for like 3 to 4 weeks. And I was watching this and I was just like, nah, like whatever just happened, we're looking at way longer than like 3 weeks. And I said that based on the wrong information. So I was looking at them examining him, and the video that they showed, I took a quick look at it. And for some reason, I thought they were like touching his forearm. I guess it's how big his hands are. Yeah. But I thought they were touching his forearm, but it wasn't. But like when they were touching his forearm, I was like, I was thinking about the muscle that attaches to the thumb through a tendon. So like not most. Hold on, where can you see my, there we go. So like all of our fingers had 2 flexor tendons. The thumb only has 1. And so it's a tendon that goes to here to a muscle that goes through here and into here, right? And so I was just like, if this hurts and there's an issue with that muscle or that tendon, like, oh no, that's 8 to 12 weeks, you know? And I was wrong about that. But then eventually they said that he was going to have to have surgery. And I'm like, okay, well, depending on what it is, that's 6 to 8 weeks minimum. And then Jerry Jones says, we're not putting Dak on IR. Which means that they are either expecting him to be back in 4 weeks, or they're just going to play fast and loose with the thumb on the throwing hand of their star quarterback. But either way, it suggests that they are not planning on bringing in another quarterback. It means that they are going to go with either Cooper Rush or Will Greer, both of whom are obviously 2 talented young men, because even though we talk about there are only 32 starting quarterbacks, like at the end of the day, there aren't a lot of people who are even on the level to make a practice squad in this world. So even if that's how far you get, you have some modicum of talent, right? However, do they have what it takes to lead this team to the playoff run that all fans are expecting? Not from what we've seen. Now, one thing about Will Greer is at least he's like a new name. So it's like, if you put him out there, there's
good.
Like...
He did good on the preseason, though. Right. He did. He was running the ball. He was throwing the ball. Like, from a preseason game. But
him out there, at least there's some hope for fans. At least they can say, like, well, you know what? Like, let's give him a chance.
I know. And listen, there was one time that Dak actually ran the ball. And like Flynn and I was like, oh my God, he's running the ball. He's actually running the ball. But and then got hurt. So yeah, that doesn't really matter.
So we'll see what happens with that. But I really hope that they're not rushing Dak back, because
they tried to do that last season too with his calf.
Yeah.
So let's hope they don't.
Because when Jerry made that statement, He didn't say we've talked to medical professionals and they think he'll be back in four weeks.
No.
His reasoning behind this was that we've seen David defeat Goliath. And I'm just like, what the fuck does that have to do with Dak Prescott's thumb? Are you using a biblical analogy to reference your decision to possibly ruin your star quarterback's career if he fucks up that thumb again?
At night. Yeah.
Oh, my God. So
classic Jerry. Just classic Jerry.
Week 1, we're making biblical analogies. That's where we are. So, unlike a lot of people, I don't think the season is over. I do believe that CD put in work in the offseason. I do believe that it takes time for that work to show up on the field if you didn't play any preseason.
Agreed.
You know? Everything I said about the amygdala and adrenaline and how people respond, that is proven not only in sports like football, but pretty much in every sport and even other things where a person is expected to perform that's not related to sports. People even say when it comes to sex, sometimes that comes to play, which is why sometimes you might have a one night stand and that shit is trash. And then later you realize, oh, I do actually have sexual chemistry with this person. It's just that first time we were both nervous. And so it kind of sucked. Right. So I say all that to say, like, this is a human response to anything that involves emotion and an expectation of performance.
Just a reminder, these people are also human beings.
They're human beings. They are incredibly talented.
Yes.
Very incredibly good-looking human beings.
That too. But they're still human beings.
They're still human beings.
Besides Aaron Rodgers, he's not even cute.
Yeah.
I can't even hate that bitch. Anyways.
So yeah, I think we'll see some great things from CD. Obviously, our defense is doing great. You know, Tyler Smith, he did not do bad for his first time. Now, is it unfortunate that, you know, from what people are saying, it was his missed assignment that led to Dak being hurt? That sucks. But on the whole.
Also, still has so many fucking penalties. Like,
oh, that too. Oh, my God.
Almost all on him. Like, so are you going to blame that? You can't fucking do that. You can't fucking do that. Anyway.
A lot of stuff went wrong. Yes. But it didn't go wrong to the point where I think it can't be fixed. Now, I'll tell you what I'm worried about. And I just said it. What I'm worried about more than can CD show up is, can Kellen Moore put the right people in the right places and give them the right assignments?
I
don't know if Kellen Moore has it in him to use the weapons that we currently have on the Cowboys offense right now to use them properly. I really don't. Because, I mean, even if you look at what was going well that night, Zeke running the ball, why did they not do that?
Yes! We were just saying
that. I was like, he's doing great. Why aren't we doing this more? He had, like, I think we carried the ball like 18 times total. Zeke should have had at least 25 carries by himself during that game. At least. Yeah. I don't know what, and so it's shit like that makes me lose faith. It's not CD having a bad game. You know, it's decisions like that, and knowing that even if CD is playing well and Zeke is playing well, and maybe Simi shows up and Noah Brown and Dennis Houston and Pollard and they're all and Gallup comes back and we have everything that we need. I don't trust Kellen Moore to do the right things with those people. I just don't.
I agree. He's definitely showed us that he's not. We cannot trust him to do that. It's been proven multiple times, actually.
Right. So. And for whatever reason, it just feels like everybody who was supposed to step up and steer this offense in a different direction ends up just being a mouthpiece regurgitating the company line. I mean, Mike McCarthy, Kellen Moore, whenever he does talk, which isn't often, Dak. It seems like every interview they had, they're regurgitating the same thing. As a matter of fact, I actually started to get worried about Sunday when I was listening to interviews that were posted on YouTube on Saturday, and I heard the phrase complimentary football. I was like, wait, what? Yeah. What I thought we were done with that phrase. Anyway, you keep looking at your watch.
No, it's because it keeps vibrating. No, okay. You're good.
But yeah, I heard the phrase complimentary football, and I was just, and like, it just gave me fat flashbacks of 2021, and I was just like, what? What the fuck did you just say? So yeah, like, I have a lot more to worry about than one bad game from a few players.
Listen, it's one game. They played one game. Can we, like, you know, give them a little bit of time. Have some faith in the team. I don't know if I actually do, but, you know, like, I'm not gonna just judge the entirety of the team and how and their performance from one game. I'm gonna wait a couple of games more and see.
So here's what I hope. I hope that whoever takes over at QB, at minimum, they have a better attitude than Dak. Because while the guys loved him, I just did not see him portraying the type of attitude and the type of spirit that people need. Because as quiet as it's kept, how you feel when you're playing a game, where your mind is, your mindset, all that shit makes a big difference in your performance.
Yeah.
And leadership can do a lot to influence that. Oh, you know what 100%. I'm saying?
They should put Micah as a QB. And then leave him there for offense. I mean, for defense, too.
Just leave him on the field. Yeah, he's a new freight train. Yeah. Got it.
He can do it.
He can do it. I actually believe he could. Will they let him? No, but I actually believe he could.
I was going to say, if they would tell him, like, yo, are you going to... Before you even finish the sentence, you will already be signing that contract. Yeah, I'm going to be there.
Yeah.
The entirety of the four quarters.
So I hope whoever they put in that role has the gumption to take over and lead when they need to take over and lead. I hope they have it in them to like infuse a new attitude and culture into this offense.
Yeah.
I really hope we see a lot of growth from all the receivers, because even if CD does step up himself, the rest of them need to step up too. Because it's like, if you watch that game, it's like, even if CD did his best as wide receiver one,
yeah,
who's the number two? Like, it's not obvious, you know? So it's like, I'd like to see them all step up. I don't know what kind of miracle it would take Kellen Moore to do better, because he's been in his role for years. So I don't know. But like, CD, for real, dear CD, there was an interview where a couple of people acknowledged it. They said you actually started talking like Micah, and everybody loved it. And I'm not gonna lie, I was turned on a little bit. but you were talking with a level of confidence and belief in yourself, just a hint of I don't give a fuck, that like, I don't think we'd heard from you. And when I say that, I mean that in a good way. It felt like you really weren't worried about what people had to say to you or about you.
Yeah.
Like, you were so focused on your game and doing what you needed to do to be great and to improve and to lead, that nothing could deter you from that path. I need you to find that version of yourself and hang on to it, on the field, off the field, all the time. Because the body language that you have when you start messing up, and I get it. I remember when I first started learning that mindset for myself, it was hard for me to carry that into every situation, right? But I need you to learn how to do that with the quickness. Maybe you should talk to Micah, get some advice from him on like what he went through in order to like work with some of the veterans in his position and some of the people who gave him some good advice. Since people like Michael Irvin, clearly you're just going to wait until they have the opportunity to become a viral social media clip before they'll give you advice. Maybe there's somebody else that you need to turn to. Maybe there's somebody else who will be a little more supportive and a little bit less opportunistic and critical. You know, I want to see that for you. I really, really do.
Yep.
Sincerely, this bitch.
This bitch agrees too.
Cosign. Anyway, do we have anything else to talk about? I feel like I've been ranting about the Cowboys for like an hour and a half, and it's going to have to be a whole separate episode.
No, I don't think so. I'm excited for the World Cup to get here too, though.
That will be exciting. So this Sunday, Cowboys play the Bengals. I'm not going to give any predictions for that. I'm just going to say that is what's happening. The only prediction I have is that there's going to be a lot of Bengals fans in the stands. Yeah. I don't know. I might have to drive up to Arlington and see what the vibe is. Maybe parking will be cheaper or something. It'll be fun. Also, the Bucks play the Saints, my other team. I'm excited about that because over the past 4 years, Tom Brady has experienced more turnovers and sacks against the Saints than against any other team. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking forward to seeing how that game goes, seeing what else the Saints can do this season, seeing what kind of excitement they can generate. Maybe my other boo, Alvin Kamara, will actually score a touchdown this game, you know. Hopefully you stay healthy this season. That would be nice.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's what's coming up. And we'll talk about all that next week and maybe have some more fun stories to tell.
I hope the Saints win.
Me too.
I just want them to give the Bucks a run for their money. You know, it's like kind of a payback for me. So, yeah.
Yes. I feel like this happened last year where the Cowboys lost and then we wanted the Saints to get vengeance for the Cowboys. So, yeah, we need you to do that again. Jameis and the Saints.
Yes.
Also, Jameis, you're hilarious. I don't know if that was his podcast that I saw that I clip know, from,
but if
it
is hilarious.
You've earned a new listener. Like, whatever it is, I'm going to find it and listen to it all the time because Jameis Winston is fucking hilarious.
Yes.
My quarterback is so entertaining and funny.
Yes, I agree. That was really funny. It's very relatable.
I got a Yeti cooler. My ice.
If you leave it open, it's my cooler. My ice.
That was literally my life all summer. I was like, yes, I feel your pain. Okay. Well, I don't know. Maybe the Cowboys will surprise us. I don't know if I expect us to win, but I think we'll see great and better things.
I just hope they give CD a chance. That's all. Give CD a chance. Let's see what Cooper does.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be upset if they put the QB3 out there, though. I wouldn't be upset.
Will Greer?
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be upset at all. As a matter of fact, like I said, because we actually haven't seen what he can do, put him in there.
Yeah, I would
because
like
people. You've already got people expecting us to go like 0-3, 1-5 to start the season.
No.
So I'm just like, if that's already the expectations, well then what the hell? The right, put
exactly,
the suit in there.
Exactly. No, but I remember the Rush, his first game last season, like an actual NFL game, and he was so nervous. He was like, he still did good. Don't get me wrong. He still did pretty good for his fucking first game. And like, you know, like it was very unexpected. Like, you don't know, whatever. But I don't know. I feel like he's missing like some like oomph or some like, you know, like.
But the
some...
thing is, I felt like Dak was missing the same thing.
I agree. But I kind of saw that on QE3. So
somebody even made the point. They said, even before Dak got hurt, if you look at the last few games where he was healthy and on the field, the Cowboys got their asses handed to them. So not only week one this year, but think about what people were saying after that one playoff game last year. What were people saying? The Cowboys look like they didn't have no fire. Mm-hmm. They look like they went out there expecting to lose. Mm-hmm. Their body language was bad. Yeah. It looked like there was no chemistry among members of the offense. So it's like, even before he got hurt, people were always already saying this. Even before this year, people were already saying this.
Yeah, no, but this kid went out and like, you could tell that he was actually having fun. And he was, yes. And he was like, he was just like doing all the shit, throwing, passing, running, all kinds of shit, whatever. But he was kind of, hear me out. Getting rid of the ball faster than Dak. What?
I'm not saying anything because I agree with everything that you're saying.
Like, I don't know. Like, I would like to see him because it's a preseason game, so it's not going to be the same pressure than an actual NFL game. But I would love to see this kid out there, even if it's for the last 10 minutes of the game, or you know, or even in place of Cooper.
I'd like to see him out there in place of Cooper, but here's the thing. If Cooper ends up on the roster as the starter, you're going to need somebody to go in as a backup. So Logan will probably be on there as a backup. So what I'm hoping is that even if they do start Cooper,
that we will still see it.
They might have to pull a college move. Like a lot of college teams do that, where it's just like, you know what, this ain't going well, switch it out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I hope they do. I really, really hope they do. I really want to see this kid.
I
want
to see Greer.
Yeah. 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 I don't know. It was just a different energy. It was, I don't know. It was a different energy. It was like Micah's energy, but on the offense side.
Yeah.
What?
And that's what we need.
Exactly. Exactly.
I'm really sick of watching the offense go out there, and I'm just like, why am I more excited about this game than you are? That's really what I'd be feeling like. Anyway, well, outside of all those games coming up, I don't know, we'll have more news about Violet Crown Roller Derby probably on our next episode. If you're not following us,
it comes out before tryouts.
This will definitely come out before trials because like since we have backed up content, but this is so relevant, I'm actually probably going to try to put it out all today. So so anybody who's got their alerts turned on, you're just gonna be like, yes, there's three new episodes of Bitches Love Sports. Well, actually maybe four, because this is long as fuck and I'm probably gonna split this
as these two, yes.
So now all I have to do is rearrange that. But yeah, there'll be more news about us. There'll be more news, obviously, about our favorite teams. And if you are not already following us on Twitter, make sure you follow us on Twitter because we might have some exciting things coming up on Twitter for all those people who want to interact with us more.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, with that being said, I think we've said all that can be said.
We said a lot. I don't know if everything, but...
In summary, CD, I love you. Michael Irvin, fuck you. Micah, I hope you're okay.
Yes. Micah, we love you, dog.
Sincerely.
Sincerely. That's all. That's it. Whatever you're going through.
Oh, one more thing. One more thing for all the fangirls out there. I found more Simi Fehoko content. Dude is active as fuck on TikTok. So if you've been looking for more Simi Fehoko content, yes, he has like four or five times more followers on TikTok than he does on Instagram. So if you've been looking for more Simi Fehoko content, take your ass over to TikTok and follow him there.
Important.
Yes.
Important.
And so, okay, so now I think you've said all that can be said. All right, on that note, I'm Bitch 2.
I'm Bitch 1.
And we out.
Bye.